He daubed Di Helen Di on the pavement outside her house. He put glue in her locks and he left dead animals in her parents' garden. For years, a man called Joe Willis stalked Helen Pearson and ruined her life. She went to the police not just once, but over 100 times. No action was ever taken. Last year, Willis dragged Helen Pearson into a graveyard and stabbed her repeatedly with scissors. He's now being convicted of attempted murder. And today we're going to hear Helen Pearson's story. Devon and Cornwall police have referred the case to the Independent Police Complaints Commission and say they can't comment further at the moment. Stalking became a criminal offence in 2012, and the British Crime Survey estimates there are around 120,000 victims a year. Most, not all, but most are young women. Let's talk to Helen Pearson now. Helen, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming on the programme. Tell our listeners how you met this man, Joe Willis.
Well, he was a neighbour that lived in the block where I was in. And, well, I think it was, my parents met Joe first, I think. And I met him more through his mother. His mum lived, both his mum and Joe lived in the same block as me. And his mum was the floor above me, one sort of flat to the left. Mm. And Joe sort of lived round the corner in the block.
And did you get to know him well?
No. It was very, I mean, I was very reserved anyway. So it would just be a sort of general sort of hi as you sort of pass by around Bridge Court. It was really his mum that sort of spoke to me and said that Joe had got an icky heart and things and was lonely and things. And I did a cycle group and I said, well, if he wants to come along to it, he's more than welcome.
Yes.
You know, he could come along and I'd take him down to the group because I was a member of the group.
I think it was not long after that that things started to become a little sinister, to say the least, didn't they?
Yes. He asked me to go and hear a band being played and I said no and I didn't go. And then the following morning I was out on my morning walk and he followed me on my way back and, well, I thought he was drunk and things at the time, and he was quite aggressive and annoyed with me that I didn't go to the band, and I was very clear and firm. I'd said I wasn't going to go anyway. And I think it started from after that. I don't think he took the reject, and it turned into an obsession, and then all the stalking. Because
what kind of things did he do?
It started sort of quite sort of low kind of stuff, and then sort of built up. So, I mean, the first thing was my bike tyres being slashed. Then my front door lock was gunged up, so I couldn't get into my flat, and then you have to get a new door lock put on your door and everything. Then from that, my phone number was put up in a public phone box advertising me for sex. Then there was letters, the graffiti on the roads, outside neighbours' doors, on a neighbour's someone's door, on my bike shed door, rat face I had, graffitied, Die Helen Die. Then from that, and there were always, there were silent calls, text messages.
And who did you think it was?
I did suspect him. There were two people I thought possibly it could be. But very early on, I said to the police, Joe Willis is a strong suspect, and cited lots of sort of strange things that had happened. And he'd turned up at a dance that I went to with my parents, and we do ballroom and Latin dancing. And generally, to go to one of these dances, you can dance. And, you know, he couldn't do his ballroom. And it was just very strange that he turned up at this out at Longdown. And there were many, many many things. And then...
Were you frightened, Helen?
I was terrified. I was terrified. I mean, every day you just live in so much fear. I mean, I was having my bedroom window, kitchen window, any window. I was a ground floor flat, and my bedroom window would be broken at, say, 3:30, 2:30, 3:30 in the morning. And my bed's less than a metre from the window. And, you know, you've got the whole glass caving in. I've had, you know, letters threatening me, saying, you know, what will you do when I attack you? Will you fight? Will you scream back? Let the game begin. I felt like a fox in a fox hunt. You know, he was really enjoying the drawn out chase up to the kill. You know, I never knew what, you know, bonfire, fireworks night. She tries to put a firework through my letterbox. You know, I go to the doctors and they've had a letter from Joe pretending that he's me, making a complaint against the doctor's surgery. Mm. You know, I mean, thankfully my doctor knows me well and knows I wouldn't do that.
But it was clearly affecting so many different areas of your private life. When you went to the police, which was on many, many occasions, what sort of things were you saying to them and how did they respond?
We were saying how it's constantly getting worse and how even though there are periods where nothing might happen for a bit, it's like that constant dripping tap. You're waiting for the next attack. You're waiting for the next, will it be a broken window? Will your car tyres be slashed? You know, will your parents' car be graffitied? You know... towards the end, a dead cat put on my front doorstep. You know, you don't know what on earth's going to happen.
And what did the police do?
They, well, in my mind, they very much paid lip service and they were always very reactive and never proactive. So, like, for the example, after a letter, they would come down, might take them a while, but they'd eventually come down and pick up the letter and the letter would be sent off for forensics for fingerprints. But when it came to, you know, doing proper surveillances, getting covert cameras fitted, and they had reasons that they couldn't do my property because it was housing association and various other reasons and things. But there were no reason why we couldn't cover my parents. And we know that when I went out to my parents, you know, I mean, I only went twice in 1 year to visit them because every time I went to theirs, my parents' property and their car would be targeted.
Really?
And you can imagine that kind of level of guilt I lived in. Mm. You know, you isolate so much, you don't know if your friends will get a letter or what will happen. Mm. But I would say to the police, you know, let's use my parents and set the stalker up.
Sure.
You know, we could bring me over as bait, have covert cameras in, you could be watching from a neighbour's kitchen window, you could apprehend him and catch him. And they were always, think about it, stall, you know, we got to see this person, that person, and it never happened.
Mm. Can I ask you, Helen? Sorry to interrupt. Can I ask you, if I may, about the occasion in the graveyard when this man attacked you?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I was going down to a class at the gym, body balance class that I usually do. So I set off at my regular time on the Monday morning and it was chucking it down with rain and he came up from behind and the first I knew was a stab on my back and I went down straight on the ground and I remember being sort of pulled up and that's when I saw his face and... Because you know, the first stab, you know, this is it. You know, it's not just some mugging or something. You know, this is the stalker and this, you know. And then he pulled my head to one side. He was stabbing my neck, punching me, kicking me and dragged me across into the catacombs away from people. But thankfully, people saw from... the house and let the police know, which I'm so grateful of. And a lady came in to the catacombs and pushed him, and which enabled me to get away. And it's thanks to her that I'm alive.
Police, I mean, Devon and Cornwall Police have sent this case now to the Independent Police Complaints Commission. They are going to investigate because nothing did happen, despite the fact that you contacted them, complained to them about this man over 100 times. Yeah. They say
after I got attacked, it was very different. You know, it was taken a lot more seriously. And that, like the day after I came out of hospital, they installed cameras at my parents' property. You know, well, at that point, we didn't need the cameras. You know, it was the 4 years, 9 months before we needed them. And that's something I find very difficult.
Yes, I'm sure. They say they didn't have the hard evidence to take the case forward. Let's hear Detective Chief Inspector Mike Robinson speaking after Joe Willis was found guilty of attempted murder.
We have taken it seriously. We have, you know, sent letters, etc., off for forensic examination. We've utilised CCTV cameras, as has been heard during the court process in this last week. So we have taken it seriously. What we haven't had is the hard evidence to enable us to progress it any further.
Do you accept that, Helen?
No. Like I said, the CCTV was put in after I was attacked. A surveillance that they were supposed to be doing of my car was aborted at 2-3 o'clock in the morning because they needed the men elsewhere. So they got into my car and drove my car off, fully clothed police officers, which, you know, would scupper any efforts for us, paying a private investigator, to be able to do a future surveillance to try and catch him. And I mean, yes, they did send the letters off for forensics, but you know, not straight
that
away.
Was it. Yeah.
That was it. I feel like it's lip service being paid myself.
Let me bring in Rachel Horman. Rachel works for the National Stalking Advocacy Service. Rachel, hello to you. Good morning. And you have been helping Helen in her case. I mean, you know, apart from the absolutely vile and insidious nature of what has been happening to her, can you see any logical explanation for why the police didn't do something sooner?
Absolutely not. Unfortunately, this type of reaction to stalking is not uncommon from the police, unfortunately, but the police had more than 100 opportunities to take action in this matter. Stalking is a criminal offence, and we shouldn't need to wait until stalking escalates to behaviour such as assault, attempted murder, and even murder in many cases, until the police react. So I do think that Helen was massively let down by the police.
And we'll wait for the inquiry by the Independent Police Complaints Commission. But it's hard to see that there would be any mitigating circumstances, really, on the part of Devon and Cornwall Police. But what would you suggest to people who are being stalked, who have gone through a little bit, perhaps, of what Helen has gone through? What, you know, if you go to the police and nothing happens, what else can you then do?
Keep reporting it to the police, even if initially the reaction that you're getting from the police isn't very good. Also contact the different groups available to help, such as the National Stalking Helpline, who can help, and also Paladin, who would assist high-risk stalking victims. At Paladin, we would risk assess the victim, and if they were high risk, we would then liaise with the police and the CPS to try and get a coordinated, proper response to the stalking, to make sure that it was taken seriously and to make sure that the legislation which is there is actually used.
But, you know, when the Protection from Harassment Act, which was brought in 1997, was amended in 2012, on this programme we talked a lot about what difference it would make. You know, it would the argument went it would focus police officers' minds because it would actually include the word stalking for the first time.
Yes.
Two new specific offences of stalking. So that was 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this has happened to Helen recently, and it didn't focus any police officer's mind.
No, it didn't. And that's the problem. We have the tools there with the legislation. What we now need is to get some proper training in place for the police, for the CPS, and even the judiciary to some extent, and probation, as to what the effects of stalking are, because I still don't think that many people take it seriously. They treat it as a joke and maybe laugh it off and not take it seriously.
Well, what sort of people laugh it off?
I think generally you can go into many card shops and buy a card with a joke on it about stalking, that type of thing. I don't think generally the public and even the professionals take it seriously.
Right.
So it is really about training these agencies so that they can start using it. If we look at Scotland prosecute more than double the numbers of stalking offences as happens in England and Wales. So it can be done. It's just that we are lagging behind in England and Wales at the moment.
Well, I mean, under the new legislation, which I referred to, brought in a couple of years ago, for the first time, there is a charge relating to a victim's fear of violence being used against them, as well as an actual attack.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that's the whole point of it. We don't want to be waiting until these victims are physically assaulted. Mm. We want to be able to nip it into the bud, in the bud very early on. We only need two incidents to start a prosecution for stalking. We do not need to be anywhere near 100 incidents.
Thank you very much for coming on the programme, Rachel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rachel Horman works for Paladin, which is the National Stalking Advocacy Service. And Helen, thank you very much for giving us your time this morning. Helen Pearson talking about her stalking nightmare, effectively. Joe Willis now in jail after being found guilty of attempted murder. It's 5 Live, it's 10:30.